This week's text has been a particularly tough one for me. It's such a sad story, and it doesn't feel like it's fitting for a day when we're celebrating the wonderful work of all our volunteers and baptizing two of the cutest kids you've ever seen. And this week, children have been on my mind. Mine, yours, but specifically the child of a colleague of mine in Minneapolis. This colleague named Melissa is the pastor to a bilingual church called Tapestry. Her first career was as a Spanish teacher, and then she went to seminary and graduated and started a brand new church, all while being a single parent to her two sons who were in high school and college. She's a bold woman who speaks out often about justice, for economic justice, ecological justice, the rights of women, the LGBTQ community, and particularly justice as it relates to immigrants, since a large part of her congregation is from outside of the United States. Melissa's children are her pride and joy, both bright and creative. You can see them in pictures and videos with her at Tapestry, supporting her ministry and just enjoying their lives. This Tuesday, Melissa's oldest son, Chris, was swept into the Mississippi River close to St. Anthony Falls, close to the University of Minnesota campus, where he's about to graduate with a degree in neurobiology. And at first, she couldn't get help from authorities to look for him. She was even hung up on at one point by an officer. But with the support of her friends and colleagues and family, search teams were soon out with all their equipment and people, and prayers have been pouring in. The hashtag Find Chris boasts a multitude of his family and so many friends of Melissa and him who are praying for hope, even when at 5 days after he's gone missing, hope can seem like an unlikely emotion to hold. It's gut-wrenching. It's the last thing any parent should have to go through, and I can't help but think it's extremely unfair. For Melissa, a leader who fights so hard for the rights of others and so deeply shares and embodies this love of Christ, how is it right for her to suffer in this misery? I know there are a lot of people who believe in karma, that karma type of system where if you behave badly, the universe will punish you. There are a lot of people that believe that God gives you suffering on purpose to help make you a better person, help you learn. But I just can't believe that this is what is happening in this story. Chris had such a bright future. Smart and loving and talented. And his mom, even in her grief, wrote in her blog that even the young people that have made mistakes still deserve to have a community that cares surrounding them, just like she and her family do. How can this be something that God wanted to happen? For someone with such grace to deserve such a thing? I mean, I know Melissa. How much more could she honestly learn? It feels to me a little bit like the Apostle Stephen that we hear about in this text. He was killed by a corrupt system and false accusations. He was one of the first deacons that we hear of in the church, what we in the ELCA refer to as word and service ministers. Because the people who were in charge of word and sacrament ministry, which is what Pam and Candy and I are, the word and sacrament ministry, these leaders in the old times didn't have time to take care of the duty of feeding widows, and they appointed special leaders to do their work. Sidebar, notice something, that it's widows that they're talking about. Why only widows? It's because of the system of the time where only men could work outside the home. How could a woman feed herself in this time? I want to say it out loud that this is not indicative of what God wants for women today. I want to say it out loud, that it's just simply how society functioned and God wanting to take care of all people. And I'll say it again, God does not see anyone as less than. What God wants for humans is for us to stop worrying about logistics and these minuscule details of the law. What God wants is just for us all to be fed and cared for. In fact, there's a lot of stories in the Old Testament where we hear that there's actually rules about when you harvest that you need to leave a certain amount behind so those who can't work or don't have funds to buy food can actually glean the harvest so that everyone has something to eat. And from what we read in the story, or what I read, I guess I didn't actually give it to you, I gave it a summary portion, Stephen does the work along with the people that he was appointed with. And in addition to that work, he's filled with the Holy Spirit and doing miracles and preaching. And what he says and does angers his contemporaries. We don't hear precisely what it is that made them angry, but have you ever noticed that the message of the gospel can be upsetting to people? This message of unconditional love and a call to serve others regardless of their worth can really anger people. Think about it. Has any message from the Bible or a sermon that you've heard ever made you feel a little awkward, uncomfortable? I think that we want our faith to bring us comfort, and I know that it does in a lot of ways. But in a lot of other ways, it can be extremely unsettling, challenging. I think of the times when Jesus tells his disciples to give up their family and all possessions in order to follow him. We've done a lot to make that text a little bit easier on ourselves, because in the U.S., we have this thing with having too many possessions, right? So often when I hear that story, I feel really uncomfortable. I'm also made extremely unsettled by the command to love my neighbor as myself, especially when my neighbor includes those people who make me furious or hurt others. And even when Stephen is brought before the council, he says plenty to make the people uncomfortable. He's so committed to his faith that he seems unworried about his safety. He even gets downright sassy mentioning all the prophets that the people have killed in the history of the faith. And then for reasons that aren't fair or just, he is stoned to death. And when he is about to die, he sees Jesus standing at the right-hand side of God. Not seated, as we speak of in our creeds, but standing. And I think the reason is for this is, in the Old Testament, it mentions that there will be someone standing at the right hand of God to judge people, to offer condemnation. But this seems to be a juxtaposition. It's Jesus standing at the right-hand side of God with a message of love and forgiveness. And with his last breath, Stephen actually asks that these people who are stoning him not be held accountable for their sin. So was this caused by God? Did Stephen have to die in order to fulfill the promises of that God was working through him? I don't think so. It doesn't seem like God wanted him to suffer. But it does seem like God was surrounding him as he did. The message that I've been gleaning from this, gleaning is the word for picking up the things that are leftovers because I'm not the worthy person, sorry. The message I've been gleaning from this is that humans are imperfect. I mean, it's new news, right? You guys didn't know this. Humans are imperfect. We act like the people around Stephen acted. We ignore the message of God. And even if we act like Stephen, boldly and fearlessly following what the Holy Spirit has called us to do, it doesn't mean that we lead a charmed or perfect life. And in a world where consumer culture has informed many of us, that can be a tough pill to swallow. That living a good life doesn't mean that nothing bad happens to you. But doing the right thing isn't necessarily rewarded with riches or even safety. So you might wonder what the point is in all of this faith business. I wonder this myself in my prayers often. And then I look to examples like Stephen, like my pastor friend Melissa, and I see what happens for them in times of intense struggle. Their connection to God through the Holy Spirit has made the struggle less lonely for them. Stephen was having stones actively hitting him, and he saw the face of Jesus and had enough peace of mind to ask his killers to be forgiven. Only God could create such peace. Melissa posted a video on Facebook. I saw it the other day, and she said how beautiful the river was, how much Chris loved it. And I feel like she can look at the Mississippi River and instead of curse it, she marveled at its beauty, remembering how much her son loves this river, loves nature, loves justice and equality. Melissa and Stephen have every right to curse God and everything around them. And somehow, that connection with the Holy Spirit helps them to move through the human emotions to be comforted and loved by God. May we all feel the Spirit that strongly. May we all know such love. May Chris be found soon. May we follow the example of Stephen and not those who resist discomfort, service, and growth for the sake of loving others. May you feel how closely you are held and how much you are loved by God, not only in times of joy and peace, but in times of struggle and sorrow.